Hallelujah. Presence of the Lord is here. Every high thing must come down. Every stronghold shall be broken. I looked at the end of the book, and we win. I looked at the end of the book, and we win. He's God all by himself. We can decide to worship him and give him the glory that he deserves. But in the end, he wins. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I have a word for you today. I really do. If you could find Matthew chapter 8. And verse 8. You all know the story of the centurion who was a Roman. He came to Jesus because he had a servant that was sick. But he knew, being a Roman, that the Jews were not supposed to come anywhere near Gentiles. But Jesus was going to come. But he said this. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof. But speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. Amen. And that's the topic of my message today. Speak the word. Speak the word. Speak the word. Turn to your neighbor and say, speak the word. Speak the word. Hallelujah. I hope you will continue to be prayerful, to prepare the soil and have good ground. You may be seated in Jesus' name. We've come through already a year and a half, that 2 years or even a month before all of this stuff broke, no one would have believed the transformation and the times we have seen in this country and in the world. And I sense in my spirit that there has been, as the Bible said, a falling away. The greatest danger for Christians, the greatest danger for you and me, is a loss of faith. We may not admit it, we may not want to say it, but I sense there has been a loss of faith over these last year and a half, because we have not been able to come together, because we've not been able to worship, because maybe you've prayed for some things that has not happened. There has been a loss of faith. The greatest danger to you and me is when we lose faith. The greatest danger is when we start to doubt God. The greatest danger is that loss of faith. We can keep coming to church, we can keep singing, but in our heart, we're not believing as we used to. We're not standing on that rock as we used to. Jesus warned Peter about this in Luke chapter 22, verse 31. He said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you. Do you understand? Satan hath desired to have you. To have you, to have you, to have me. And the greatest danger is that we're not aware that we're losing some faith. Some things have happened this year that have hit our faith and destroyed some of our confidence. The Lord warns Simon, he said, there's coming some tests. And Satan hath desired to have you. But here, listen, I have prayed for you. He didn't pray to take away the temptation. He didn't pray to make him whole. He didn't pray to give him a better job. He didn't pray for the earth to open and you know, gold to pour out. That's what we want. That's what we want. All Jesus said, I've prayed that your faith fail not. You know, when I used to read that scripture, I said, but Jesus, why don't you just stop him? Why don't you just take Satan away? But that's not the answer. That's not what God wants. He wants your faith to to endure. He wants your faith to get stronger. He wants you to come through the test. He wants you to come through the trial. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, when you are changed, when you come through this, when you get through the other side, come back and talk about it. Come back and tell your fellow brethren and sisters that you went through a test. You went through some trials. Your faith was at rock bottom, but somehow Jesus prayed for you. Jesus has decided he would pray for you. Come back and strengthen your brethren. There's five things I've got down here that will destroy your faith. Well, of course, number one is sin. Disobedience. You see, that enables doubt. As soon as we know we've messed up, we don't have confidence anymore in our prayers. We pray, but we're not sure anymore. Are you going to hear my prayer? Are you going to answer what I prayed for? Sin or disobedience hurts our faith. Number two, sometimes it's just bad teaching. That's why you can't eat from every table. Because you'll be told things and your expectation will be in one direction and God moves in a different. You know, there was a ton of prophetic so-called prophets and master prophets who predicted that God told them President Trump would win. Do you know that destroyed a whole bunch of people's faith when he didn't? In fact, this week I heard someone testify. And they were talking about how they prayed and they fasted and they prayed and they fasted and they prayed and they fasted for Trump to win because they thought he was God's chosen. And when he didn't win, they went through a crisis of faith. Truth is, it's more a crisis of idolatry. I know that won't be popular, but I'm saying it anyway. There is only one intercessor between God and man, and the Bible tells us that's Christ Jesus. It's not me, it's not your priest, it's not your king, it's Jesus Christ. I didn't die for you, the president didn't die for you, Jesus died for you. The third thing that destroys faith is when we pray for the wrong thing. Because you know what? We're not going to get it. Lord, kill him. You might pray that, but that's not how God works. And sometimes we're so convinced God wants us to go in this direction that when he doesn't, it destroys our faith. The fourth thing is deception. Sometimes we're just deceived. Believing something without confirming it. I get lots of people telling me, you know, God told them something. You know what I say to them? Go confirm it. If God wants you to do something, he'll tell you more than one time. Gideon tried it three times before he started to get his army together. He tested God three times. There's nothing wrong with saying, God, say it again. Speak to me again. When God wanted to tell Pharaoh about the famine, he gave him two dreams. When God wanted to tell Nebuchadnezzar what was going to happen, he gave him more than one warning. When God is speaking to you, he'll tell you again. He will make it plain. So some people, they run because that's what they want. They get the first little dream and, okay, that's what you want me to do. When it doesn't happen, their faith gets a hit. They get deceived by the enemy. Look at that fruit. Doesn't it look so good, Eve? Doesn't it look, you know, I preach this. The reason why you know she wanted to do this, because she could have just asked Adam. The Bible said he was not deceived. He could have said, no, that's a lie. But when we want to do something, we don't ask. Because we're afraid of getting told the truth. We don't come to pastor first. Not that I am the be-all and end-all, but we don't seek God first and second and third. The fifth thing that destroys our faith is just a plain-out attack of Satan that wants to wear you down and take away your strength. And take away your joy. And take away your pleasure in coming to church, in worshiping. You know, Paul, the apostle, said he was worn out. But you are not alone in this. You are not alone in this. Corinthians 1:8. I want you to know if the great apostle Paul could share in some of that worn out feeling. Sometimes life just wears you out. In 1 Corinthians 1:8 he says, For we should not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia. This is, I think it's 1 Corinthians 1:8. If it's not, it's 2 Corinthians. That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch as that we despaired. Here's Paul, the great apostle, despaired even of life. You know what he's talking about? The thought came to him, wouldn't it be better if I was dead? Do you understand? You're not alone in feeling down and under pressure and crushed, because that's Satan's job. He wants to take away your joy, squeeze out every ounce of salvation out of you. Paul had a near miss. He said, listen, we were despaired even of life itself. But then he goes on later on in 1 Corinthians 10:13. He says, listen, but even despite that, don't think yourself that special. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. You may think you're worse off, but there's someone who don't even have anywhere to sleep tonight. There's someone in some part of the world who's being tortured. Someone who's actually being beaten. Someone who's being whipped. So we have no excuse. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. Now, not that ye are able by yourself. You can't do it by yourself. But will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that he may be able to bear it. Look for the way out. Look for the door of exit. You're going through some things. God has promised there is an exit somewhere. Maybe it's through. Maybe it's through the fire. Maybe it's not out of the fire, but it's through the fire. You see, we will have to be persistent in our faith. In Luke 18, verse 8, Jesus tells the story of the unjust judge, who the woman keeps on pestering him and bugging him, and finally says, you know, the only way to silence this woman is to give her what she wants. And he says in Luke 18, 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? You understand what Jesus is saying? The thing the devil wants to take away from you is your faith. And when he says, will you find faith? He's talking about faith like this woman who did not give up. Persistent faith. That's what he's talking about. Persistent faith. For when you don't see it, when you've been praying for a year or two, it still hasn't happened. Persistent faith. She just kept on going. Never give up. Tell your neighbor, never give up. In Luke 18:1, Jesus makes it plain. He goes on to say, and he spake a parable unto them in this and that. And the reason why he told this parable, listen to this, the reason why he told this parable about the judge is that men ought always to pray and not faint. Now in the King James, it doesn't really give you what he's really trying to say. So I'm going to give it to you in the Amplified Version. Luke 18:1, it says, now Jesus was telling disciples a parable to make the point that at all times they ought to pray and not give up and lose heart. Do you get the point? Not give up and lose. You don't see it today. You don't see it next week. You don't see it 3 weeks later. Daniel was praying 21 days, fasting. 21 days, didn't see. Suppose he'd given up on day 21st and said, I've had it. That's it. I'm giving up. Men ought to pray persistently and never faint. See, Satan wants to take away your prayer, and he does that through taking away your faith. When he comes, will he find that kind of persistent faith? That you're still praying, you haven't seen it, you've gone through a year and a half of trials and tribulations, there's all kinds of things that you need. I doubt there's one of you here today that don't have a need. Is anyone here don't have a need? I'm coming to live with you. There's not one of us here who does not need God to do something for us. Something you've been praying for, something you've been desiring. Well, here's what you have to do. Persistent faith. That's what he's looking for. Persistent faith. Not to faint, not to lose heart. You haven't seen it yet? You keep on praying. You keep on going. You keep on persisting. That's what God is looking for. Amen. Sometimes we get to that point of disappointment and the pressure is so hard and we see life seems so unfair. We've been doing everything we can as a Christian, and yet every time we almost come out of the tunnel, there's a rockfall that blocks our way. And we get to that point of asking God, why is this happening? You know, Jesus got to that point. David got to that point. You think he went from being anointed by Samuel to being king the next day? Oh no. He spent years running from Saul, years in caves, years having to play a crazy person, years being persecuted, years being hounded. You think he got the anointing and the next day everything was just fine? Oh no. Here's David's take on life in Psalm 73, verse 2. He says, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. You ever felt like your feet was about to slip? The pressure got so bad, things were just coming at you, and you're saying, God, where are you? Why are you letting this happen to me? But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. This is David now. This is the great David who killed Goliath. So if you are feeling under pressure, that's okay. But it's how you react to the pressure. Do you give up? Do you quit? Do you say, no, I've had enough? He says, for I was envious at the foolish. He realized that his envy was stupid. When I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Look at them. They don't even go to church. They're getting blessed. They're getting all kinds of goodies and things are happening to them. And I'm serving you, God, and I've still been serving you. And look at how nothing good has happened. David said, my foot nearly slipped. See, we want reasons. We want to be in front of God's face and say, come on, tell me, God, what's happening? Why is this happening? You see, Job experienced that too. Job experienced that in Job 23:3. We want reasons. Don't you want a reason? I was telling somebody on Friday, I used to pull up here in front of the house. I used to drive up here every week from 2005 to 2009. And as my father was deteriorating, I would pull up here and I wouldn't go in the house and I'd sit out there and I'd pray. And I'd seek God and say, God, here is your man who has served you before I was born. See, I wanted reasons. I wanted God to tell me and explain stuff to me. Job 23:3. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause in front of me. I would plead my case. I would explain. Look at how I've served you, God. Look at how many times I've been coming to church. Look at how many times I paid my tithes. I would fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me. See, that's where we make the mistake. We think we're on God's level. We think we can demand of him an explanation. And he says, I can't explain anything to you. See, others of us, we've been going through stuff and it seems for years and years and there hasn't been an answer. So we seek understanding, we want reasons, and third things we want to know. When is this going to change? When is our help coming? Psalms 13, verse 1. Here's David. How long will thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? This is David speaking from out the depths of his heart, out of his suffering. It seems sometimes that God has forgotten us forever. We're going through the motions and it doesn't seem that he's listening. He's even speaking to us. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? Anyone can empathize with that? Anyone been at that place? Anyone been like Paul said, where he despaired of life itself? Where you just want to give up? You want to be like Elijah, go sit under the tree and say, Lord, take me. There was an old time comedy way back. I can't remember the name of it. It was the old man, he would go like this. Always ready to die. How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall mine enemy be exalted over me? You see what Satan is doing? He wants to take away your faith. Because the answer has not come right away, because God has not spoken to you right away, because you don't see it yet, he's sapping your faith. You're still coming to church. You're still clapping your hands. You're still worshiping. But in here, there's been a little dent. He's put a little dent in your shield of faith. You see, I'm going to give you some reasons. This is going to be like a teaching, okay? Not so much a preaching. I was trying to explain to someone this week the reason why God can't just tell us everything. And it's really very simple. It's in John chapter 4, verse 24. It comes down to this. God is a spirit. Turn to your neighbor and tell them that. As if they didn't know it. Did you know God is a spirit? God is a spirit. You know, God lives in a completely different habitation. A different realm. Someone said a different realm. That's the reason why God can't just tell you everything. You see, you don't have any common experience with God. You have no common experience. What do I mean by that? The only reason I can speak to you in English is because you have a common experience. When I say a rose, I don't have to explain what a rose is because you've all seen a rose. You all know a rose. If I say smell a rose, you know what I'm talking about. We've had a common experience. If I say a brick, you all know what a brick is. You've all seen a brick. You've touched a brick. If I say a cloud, you've all seen a cloud. You know what a cloud is. You know the results of a cloud, rain. But if I was to talk to someone who was born blind, and I start talking about a cloud, we have no common experience. So they're there, and they're starting to feel this rain in their life. And I say, it's a cloud. What's a cloud? I can't explain it. But they can feel the results of it. How long is this water this spiritual rain gonna come down on my life? I can't tell them, because if they could see the cloud was only yay short and it's just passing through, they would understand. But I can't explain it. The reason God doesn't even try is because we don't have a common experience. Born without sight, spiritual sight. See, to truly understand and discern the true nature of the spiritual conflict that we're in. We cannot see the spiritual droplets. We feel them, but we can't see where they're coming from. And if God told us it was a cloud and it's just passing through, we would have no conception. I asked someone to describe, how would you tell a blind person a cloud? Well, one way you could give them some cotton wool, right? And say a cloud is like this, but that isn't even close. That's what God has been trying to do. Do you understand? In the Old Testament, He gave them all these ceremonies and all these. He's been giving us some cotton wool. But it's only a symbol of the true nature of His love and His care. We have no clue. And that's why all He can tell us is, you have to trust me. One day you will know as you are known. But you see, God is so great and so awesome. And don't forget the title of my message. I bet you've forgotten it already. What was the title of my message? Speak the Word. I'm coming back to that. I'm going somewhere with this. You see, God is so great and so gracious that He understood we couldn't experience Him because He was a spirit. But then what does the Spirit do? John 1:1. The Word became flesh. Now, He has a common experience with us. So the Bible says He understands your pain because He suffered just like you. We may not be able to understand the spirit things right now, but He can understand your stuff. Hebrews chapter 4:15 tells us that. It says, for we have not an high priest who cannot be touched. Aren't you glad that Jesus can be touched? Aren't you glad when you pray now? When you pray now, not in the Old Testament, but when you pray now, Jesus does understand. In the Old Testament, as a spirit, God may have had some inkling, but He came to have the common experience that we have. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points, say all points. So whatever point you have right now, whatever suffering you've been through now, Jesus understands it. He knows it. He lived it. He was tempted like you were. But was in all points tempted. I told someone the other day, the reason why I still have faith kind of makes no sense at first when I tell you why. But if you think about it, you'll understand. The reason why I have faith is because Jesus suffered. If Jesus, God in the flesh, had to suffer, I might not understand it. I might not comprehend it because I don't have a common experience. But I can understand that if he had to suffer, then I can understand there may be a reason I can't see that I have to suffer. See, that's why we come to one of my favorite scriptures, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. After saying that he was in all points tempted, because he was in all points tempted, because he understands every point you're going through, let us therefore come boldly to a throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help when? In your time of need. Right now, you can come boldly to a throne of grace. Why? Because we have a high priest who was tempted, who suffered, who was spat upon, who was torn apart. Isaiah 53 verse 3 says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We have no understanding of what Jesus actually suffered. Because right now, we all carry our own cross. We got our own issues. We got our own problems. And to us, they're big. They're huge. But think about it. The Bible says that every single sin, every child rapist, every child molester, every murderer was put upon him. Think about that. And we hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God. We have no idea what Jesus really suffered. The Bible said he didn't just die for one person's sin. My sins is bad enough. But think, he died for every single person's sin. The temporary answer to why I'm suffering is because I can understand Jesus suffered. See, the God we serve is not in our human understanding. He's really the God of opposites. The way we think things should go probably isn't the way God thinks it should go. Luke 9:24. I'll give you some examples. For whosoever shall what? Save his life shall lose it. That's an opposite. That makes no sense. That's not to our thinking. You know why? Because we don't have a common experience. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Psalms 118 verse 17. I shall not die, but live to declare the works of opposite. You see, God works opposite to our thinking. Why don't you do it this way, God? Nope, because I'm doing it opposite. But I say unto you, Luke 6:20, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies. That's opposite. Do good to them which hate you. Bless them which curse you. You have a great day. You just go on with your sweet self and I'm going to pray for you. They could be giving you the finger and cussing you out. Did I misread that? Now, don't hold up your hand. Which of us have done that? We've blessed, truly now, prayed for someone and said, Lord, just bless that person after they just did all the stuff. That, you see, we want God to fulfill his word, but we're not fulfilling our part. See, you know what we have to do? Speak the word. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. That last boss that just is a jerk getting on your last nerve. See, God is a God of opposites to what we think he is. Because you know what? We don't have that common experience. Matthew 20:26. Let me tell you how God is. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. That's why I don't like any of you doing stuff for me. I need to be your servant. We need to be each other's servant. See, the answer to how God is going to fix the problem is like this. Faith, Romans 10, 17. I'm coming to my message now. That was just laying the ground. Turn to your neighbor, say, speak the word. Romans 10, 17. The problem, remember what the problem is? A loss of faith. Loss of faith. I just sense that through our evangelical community this last 2 years, there's been a great loss of faith. For many reasons, some have put their faith in men, some have put their faith in all kinds of things, some have looked amiss, some have prayed amiss, but the end result's the same, a loss of faith. So what is the answer to the loss of faith? Romans 10, 17 tells us. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by? So speak the word. Speak the word. God has given us many examples of great people in the Bible who went through crisis. David went through a crisis. 1 Samuel 36, you know the story? He had been gone with his men and the enemy had come and taken all their wives and their families and good and taken everybody away. And when his men came around and they saw it, you know who they got mad with? Not the devil. Not the enemy. They got mad with David. 1 Samuel 3, 30 verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved. They'd lost their families. You know, people strike out when they're in pain. Sometimes they don't mean to be striking out at you, but you're the nearest one. And you get it. They don't mean to be striking out at you, but there. Now, I want you to see the secret of a restoration of faith. So David had nobody to talk to. Everybody was against him. It's your fault. If we had been here, this wouldn't have happened. The soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David spoke the word. What does it say? How did he encourage himself? He spoke the word. He started to speak to himself. You know what? I didn't want this job. I was just a shepherd boy out with my father's sheep. Lord, you sent that prophet to me and you hauled me in there and you poured all this stuff over me. So there must be a reason. There must be a calling on my life. There is a calling on your life. You need to speak the word. You need to get like David when everyone is against you and start to encourage yourself. I'm going to speak the word of encouragement to myself. You know why? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. When you have no one else to speak the word, you got to do it. David encouraged himself. How did he do it? In the Lord, his God. He said, Lord, you've gotten me out of worse situations than this. When I was just a little shepherd boy, you helped me kill a lion. You've helped me slay thousands of the enemy. I know they stole my wife and my children and all the men are against me. But Lord, I didn't want this job. I didn't plan to be king. Therefore, you're going to have to help me. I'm going to trust you, Lord. I'm going to go after the enemy. David encouraged himself. He spoke the word. What I want to tell you today is you need a personal word for yourself. I'm going to tell you my personal word for this week is 2 Corinthians 12:9. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect even in my weakness. Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I'm encouraging you today. You need to find a personal word that you can speak to yourself. What's your word? I'm going to throw out some freebies there for you to have. Psalms 118 verse 17. I already gave you that one. I shall live. That's what it says. I shall not die but live. And I'm going to declare. Okay, some of you going through some pressure, some persecution. How about is Isaiah 54 verse 17? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that it shall rise against thee in judgment shall thou condemn. This is the heritage. Here's some personal words you need to speak to yourself. This is what will cure a loss of faith. The Bible tells us faith comes by and hearing by. Okay, so speak the word. Speak the word. Speak a word to yourself. What's your word today? Let me give you one for anxiety. Matthew 11:28. Here's one if you're feeling anxious. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Speak the word. You need to speak some words of rest to yourself, that God has promised to take your burden. If you truly, truly trust Him, if you keep on telling yourself that, you know what? You'll start believing it. Let's say you're going through some financial need. Here's a word for you. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory. You get up tomorrow, you just keep saying that. You take out your checkbook and you keep saying it. My God shall supply my need. Yes, they're threatening to cut off the lights. They're going to take the car. But my God shall supply all my need. I'm going to speak the word. Suffering from a broken heart? Somebody wounded you? Here's a word for you. Psalms 147 verse 3. He healeth the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds. Speak the word. I'm giving you all these freebies. Now you find one for yourself. You need to look in the mirror and say, I'm going to speak the word. I am going to encourage myself. I am not going to let Satan sift me as wheat. I'm not going to let him take away my faith. I'm not going to let him have me. I'm going to speak the word. You think that God has abandoned you? You think that He hasn't answered your prayer? Here's one for you. Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It says, no, in all these things, no matter what I'm going through, we are more. Say more. More. More than conquerors through Him who loved us. For I am convinced, this is Paul now, I am convinced, I am convinced, I am sure, I am determined that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the past, nor the future, nor any powers, this is in a modern translation, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation. Speak the word. Will be able to separate us from the love of God. Do you believe that? Now, that's not to say that we won't feel forsaken. Jesus showing us in His common experience on the cross, what did He say? My God, my God. He had to feel just as how we feel. So when we say we feel alone, He says, I've been there. I understand that. I was on a cross too. But speak the word, speak the word, speak their word. Here's Paul saying, no, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Satan, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Even if I feel alone, I'm never alone. I'm going to speak the word, even if I don't understand it because I don't have the common experience fully yet. See, that's the reason for the Holy Spirit birth. You understand that? When we receive the Spirit now, we're starting to move into the spirit realm. We're starting to get some understanding without God explaining it to us. We can get a peace, the Bible says, that no human can understand. We're in a storm, but we're not panicked. I'm sorry to keep using personal examples, but the best one I can think of is when our house burnt down. And I'm there watching the house burn down. It was a Sunday night, and my wife was still coming from church, and she's driving down the hill, and the neighbor is watching her and says, your wife is smiling. Your wife is smiling. She should be bawling and crying and tearing up. And my only thought was, please, Lord, let him not think we started it for the insurance money. You need to frown a little bit. You need to look sad. That's what I thought, because your wife is smiling. Her car is burning up. The house is burning up. She's smiling. What is she smiling for? I tell you why. She had a word. Knowing all these things, we are more than conquerors. I'm going to tell that to my face tomorrow morning when I get up, when I have all stuff to deal with. I'm more than a conqueror, Satan. No angel or demon, neither the present or my past is going to separate me from God's love, which is in Christ Jesus. I'm going to speak the word, because faith comes back by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Give you one more. You in trouble? You feeling some trouble? Here's a word for you, a personal word. Psalms 46 verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. Turn to your neighbor. I'm not going to fear. I'm going to sleep good tonight. I'm going to trust God. Even if I hear some gunshots over the next fence, I'm going to sleep. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, though there's an earthquake, though through the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. God is our refuge and strength. I'm going to speak that word to Satan. See, you all need a personal word. You need to choose a personal word and speak it. Here's some. God loves you. God died for you. God will never leave you. God wants you. God is ready to restore you. God wants you to know Him through the experience of the Spirit. See, faith will be restored when you speak the word. Isn't that how the woman with the issue of blood got healed? Actually, it was by speaking the word. You read it. She said, if I touch the hem of His garment. She spoke the word. She said, if I touch the hem of His garment. And it was automatic. Jesus didn't even... Who did that? She spoke a word. We need to speak the word. That's how our faith will be restored. That is the cure for your loss of faith, is to start to speak a word. Speak to your situation. That's why I've gotten you saying, I'm blessed and highly favored. You need to do that. You need to speak that word. You know why you're blessed and highly favored? Because just like Mary, God has chosen you out of the thousands, the millions in Milwaukee today to come to a church and hear a word. So therefore, I am blessed and highly favored. That's what you got to say to you. You got to speak that word. Devil, you lose, I win. You see, this is all about the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11 verse 1, and you all know this. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if you can't see it, don't doubt. How? For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3, through faith we understand the worlds were framed by what? The word. God said, let there be. And it was so. So that things which are seen were not made with things that do appear. Everything you see was made by the word of God. Jumping down to verse 32. Let me tell you how powerful the word is. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail to tell me of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David and of Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness. You feeling weak today? Were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others, now here's the part we don't like, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance. You're going to bow to Satan or we keep on killing you? Well, not going to bow. Why? So that they might obtain a better. Say it, a better. Better. If I die, I still win. If I die, I still win. That's got to be your attitude. If I die, I still win. You can stand. I've been a bit longer than normal today. But I want you to have your faith restored. I'm planning to work on my faith. I'm planning to speak to myself. I'm planning to speak some of these things I've told you. The centurion knew something. You don't even have to come, Jesus, but speak the word. Just speak the word. I understand how this works. You created the whole universe by saying, let there be. Three words. Let there be. That's all Jesus had to say in your life. That's all He has to say in your life. Let there be. And you know the answer? One more time. Are you sure about that? Okay, some of you know how that goes. 10 times he said, let there be, and the universe has to respond. If God speaks into your life, let there be, there is only one result, and it was so. But I tell you what, when we get his spirit, he said you would be endued with power. And then you know what you can do? You can say, let there be. I have seen it. I have seen personal experience where God has not let me down. I have failed him, but he has never, never let me down. Now, the answer has not been instantaneous. Sometimes it's taken years. It took 25 years for Abraham to get the promised ear. But he endured. The Bible says it's he that endureth to the end. The same shall be saved. So I want to encourage you today as we close this service. If you want to get the answers from God, you need that common experience. He did his part. He became a man. Now we have to do our part, receive his spirit. Then we will start to understand. Because the Bible says that flesh cannot discern the things that are of the spirit. But once we have the spirit, we just got the deposit on the house. That's not the house. That's just the deposit. That's the promise that you're going to get the house. You know what we're waiting for now? We're waiting for the closing. We're waiting for the moving date. We've been given the keys. We're just waiting for the closing now. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, it's impossible by two immutable things for God to lie. So we can lay hold of a strong consolation. Not a weak promise, a strong consolation. That as night follows day and the sun and the planets move, God's word is not going to fail. We just need to speak the word. This altar is open if you want to have prayer. But you know what I'm going to tell you when you come down? You need to speak the word. And you keep on speaking it, just like Elijah. Prayed for rain. Go look if there's no cloud. Okay, praying some more. Go look again. You see any? No, I don't see it yet. Go again. 7 times. That's persistent faith. Finally, the lad comes. I see a little cloud. He said, okay, you better run. There's going to be rain like since Noah. You better run. Ahab, you better run to your palace. Get the umbrella because it's going to... I don't see much. Well, I just see a little cloud. See, God has promised us and we can stand upon his promises. The proof we're going to stand upon his promises is that we speak the word. Hallelujah. I'm done. I'm closing. Speak the word. Keep speaking the word. Restore your faith. Hallelujah. We're going to close this service. I'm going to pray for those at the altar. And I want you today to find a personal word that you're going to speak to yourself this week. Find a scripture and speak it out. Even if it sounds foolish or stupid, speak it out. Keep on speaking it out. When Jesus cursed the fig tree, everybody watching saw nothing happen. Nothing happened. But the Bible said immediately it was being corrupted under the ground. Nobody could see it. It wasn't until the next day they saw that the tree had shriveled up. Immediately, something had started in the nature of the tree. Immediately you speak the word. The angels are taking that word. They're the messengers of Elohim. Speak the word. If you are a child of the king, do you know you have the right to speak the word? You have the right. Don't let Satan deceive you and make you think you are weak. Speak the word with faith, believing, even if you don't see it. Command him to leave you alone. Speak the word. And God will fulfill it. Hallelujah. If you could bow your hearts to me. Father, we thank you this day for your word, hallelujah, that created this universe. Lord, as we close this service, Lord, as we come before your throne, Lord, we ask you to do a special work of renewal of our faith, Lord God. Lord, you told Peter, that you had prayed for him. And Lord, you said that you have prayed for all who would come through the word, Lord God. We as your humble servants come before you today. Lord, speak a word into our hearts that will not, oh God, be disseminated, that will grow, that will bring forth a harvest of faith. Lord, help us to lift up our faith right now and to trust you, to be renewed, to be restored, to be revived. Church, if you could start praying with me as I pray for these at the altar, if you would lift up your voice, if you would call upon his name.